This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Bold the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, I missed last week, guys. Did you miss me? Coach Dan held the fort down, though. He did a good job doing a solo show. The Caps are in the single digits for regular season games left. 9 games left until the end of the regular season. So we are almost to the playoffs. Pretty much it's known the Capitals will be in the playoffs, but what spot will they be in? That's the big question. Joining me as always to talk all about it, Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How much did you miss me last week? You missed me a lot, didn't you?
Oh, not at all.
None at all?
No, it was great to just do my own thing.
I was a little surprised. So a little behind the curtain to let everybody know, I still did the editing last week. Coach Dan offered. I had a very busy week with work, but Coach Dan offered to do the editing. I said I still wanted to do it, though, and I got to do that. And I downloaded the file. I put it into Premiere, and I'm editing, and I'm like, 40 minutes? Did he really talk for 40 minutes by himself? I can't believe this. This is crazy.
I don't know how I pulled that off, because I went into it like right before I started recording being like, well, I have about 7 minutes of cap stuff to talk about, and then I'll do the rest, and the show will be about 20 or so minutes. It'll be a quick listen, you know, on the way to work for people who are going in, or, you know, while you're sitting on the can or something, you know, you can listen to it for a little bit and it'll be great. And then I think I got done with the cap stuff and it was like, I don't know, 27 minutes. I was like, what? How did that happen? So it's, I don't know how I pulled off an actual, like, normal length show, but it worked out.
Yeah, it absolutely did. You had some good points and a lot going on
some
in Caps world.
All good points.
All, well, yeah. Let's not go
don't
overboard.
Start.
Let's talk about the big news. Of course, the grade 8 Alexander Ovechkin missing a game due to injury. Potentially missing for the first time in his career, consecutive games due to injury. Maybe one of the
COVID
few times.
Count?
No, okay, I'm saying injury, not COVID, not suspension.
Well, he had, what year was it? His rookie year where they took his skates away from him? Do you remember that?
I feel like it was this.
Dinas Zubris hid his skates, or he was part of it, because he wanted to play, and he had tweaked something. I don't know. I think it was his rookie season. And he'd gotten hurt, I should say. And they hid his skates from him because he wanted to play, and they didn't want him to. But he's, you know, the popular crazy rookie. The only part of that hasn't changed is rookie. Or that has changed, I should say, is rookie. But they, like, hid his skates from him one day so he wouldn't be able to play in the game. But I don't know if he's ever missed. Like, just thinking off the top of my head, I can't think of a time that he missed more than just a game for an injury. He's missed games before. I think one time his dad got sick, and he went home to Russia a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think he had an uncle that passed away. He had to fly back to Russia and came back, yeah.
He's missed games before, but like multiple games before in a row. But never because of injury.
Here we go.
So this is pretty great. Oh, Brandon, look it up.
Here we go.
Look at the skills, everybody.
Ben Raby at Ben Raby 31, 6 hours ago, as we're recording this on Monday. If Alex Ovechkin's lower body injury keeps him out of tomorrow's game, that being Tuesday's game, it would mark the first time he's missed consecutive games due to injury in more than 7 years. Last time was January 21st through the 24th, 2014.
I don't know what's scarier there, that it took that long or that it was 7 years ago, it was 2014, because part of me feels like it was like yesterday. I don't know which part of that is scarier to me right now.
It's it's pretty crazy. But Ovi, I was watching that game on Thursday and I was like, that's really odd that Ovi isn't in the overtime.
I missed that part.
Period.
I missed his injury. Like, I don't know what happened when it happened, because I'm sitting there watching and I was like, well, he didn't get out on the ice because they didn't like have the freaking puck at all in overtime. Like, the Islanders controlled it completely. At one point, I was like, are they playing keep away?
Right.
Like, can you let us play two? You're being very selfish right now. And then I was like, all right, well, I guess he's not going to come out because it's kind of like when the Caps keep taking penalties that he doesn't get a lot of ice time and they don't have the puck and they're not able to make moves. And they're like, well, we'll wait to put him on there. And then they just never had the chance because they couldn't get the freaking puck. But then he didn't play in the shootout. And I was like, huh. Well, he didn't play. He didn't come out. And I was like, that's very strange that he wasn't right. One of the top. Well, they went to four guys? Three guys? Three guys.
It was Oshie, Backstrom, and Kuznetsov. Backstrom and Kuznetsov got goals. Yeah.
So, like, I guess I was like, all right, well, they're not going with him as one of the top three. Not necessarily, like, confused about it because sometimes the shootout, he's kind of garbage. And so I didn't even think about it until after the game. They said something about him being hurt, and I was like, huh. I didn't notice that. That's weird.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you'd think it'd be a problem, but then they went out the next game on Saturday and blew the Islanders out.
Right, and you see, if you're watching the Islanders game this past Saturday, they had a shot. Ovi was skating down the wall, and you see he kind of stands up and doesn't put all his weight on his one leg. So it wasn't from a hit. It wasn't, you know, anything malicious. It just seems like he may have pulled something. The severity of what that is and where it might be could be, you know, lower, you know, around his knee. It could be, you know, closer to his groin. We don't know. So we're kind of just, you know, playing it by ear right now. He did have some fun with reporters. It was team photo day at practice, and he was out on the ice skating, and he screamed up at the reporters, he's back on the ice. So he knows everybody's watching him, but this is Ovi. I think he kind of enjoys that. So he knows something's up. He knows people are watching him. He knows he's got everybody intrigued. But whether or not Ovi plays on Tuesday remains to be seen. We don't know. He has missed 4 days of practice. And right now, like I said, single digits left in the regular season. You know you're making the playoffs. Do you play Ovi now knowing you're making the playoffs? Do you save him for the playoff run? Or are you really worried about who you're going to face in the postseason? Because right now you've got a little mini playoff series going on right now with the Islanders, and right now you lead 2-0 with the third game coming up on Tuesday. So do you want to face the Islanders? Do you want to face the Penguins? And then it could come down to Boston or the Rangers. The Rangers have a very slim chance of being that fourth seed. It still looks like it's going to be Boston, but they're not completely eliminated. So, Coach, what do you think? Do you play Ovi even though he might be a little bit, you know, maybe at like 90%? Or do you sit him out to save him until the playoffs? What is your line of thinking? You know, knowing Alexander Ovechkin as well as you do.
Oh, he's my buddy. We hang out on weekends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's
yeah, great. Your kids go to the same school.
I've met him once. picture he's thrilled to be in. You know, I think it depends. Obviously, it's going to depend on the injury. If it's something that he can seriously re-injure or aggravate or whatever the case may be, and that causes him to be out longer, then I don't think you risk it. I think the odds of you making the playoffs are pretty good. You're 10 up on the Rangers. That's the only team that could, you know, theoretically knock you out. You're a point behind Pittsburgh, but you played one less game. So if you want to win the division, you need him. At least you think you need him. You know, who knows? He didn't play on Sunday, and they blew out the Islanders. But Penguins are playing well. Boston's playing well. Boston still has two games in hand over the Rangers, so they're likely – all I have to win is those two games, and you know, it's not a lot of opportunities for the Rangers to really get in the playoffs. But I think if it's a minor injury, then you maybe rest him another couple, but you don't want him to be coming in what's the term I'm looking for here, Brandon? Help me out. You don't want him coming in cold for the playoffs. You know, you
rusty.
Want him yeah, you don't want him coming in rusty. You want him coming well, in having played a game or two, ready to go. And I think it depends, you know, of the other three options, which is the path of least resistance to an extent. And I don't know if there is one in this Mass Mutual East Division. You know, I don't think that's really a thing that exists because you got the Pittsburgh, the Penguins who are playing really well. You've got the Islanders who are playing relatively well. And you've got Boston who's playing really well. And so you're kind of in a tough spot right now in regards to who you want to face in that first round. I mean, this is gonna be a tough division to get out of no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a given right off the bat. And then knowing that your top player, tough save is your top player. Like, yeah, historically he is, but Backstrom's leading the team in points right now.
He's the face of the franchise.
Yes. He's definitely one of your top guys, if not your top guy. Just point-wise, Backstrom's got 48 points, Ovechkin's got 42, but Ovechkin has played 5 less games. So let's be fair. So if you're the Capitals, I think it depends on how much can he aggravate the injury further. Can it get it, getting checked, getting slashed, whatever, can that further aggravate the injury? Or is it just a thing where he took an awkward turn and, you know, he's not really going to hurt it by getting hit by somebody, but by doing what he does best and going full out and going 100%, is that going to make it worse? And if that's the case, then maybe you're waiting a little bit before you let him play more.
To me, Ovi has one gear, and it's, you know, he's a 0-60 type of guy. That's the way he kind of plays. He always has. I mean, maybe we are seeing a little bit of that age, you know, right now. He is, you know, 35.
Well, we don't know what. Settle down. I'm older than him. Calm down. No, but we don't know what the injury is. That's the other thing. It's like it could be just a run-of-the-mill thing, and he's been lucky. I mean, the odds of a player going as long as he has without having a major injury, knock on wood, is rare. To a player that plays his style. I mean, all the talk about when he came into the league was how he's not going to last very long. His career is not going to be as long because the style in which he plays is not conducive to having a long career. He's hitting everybody. He goes through players. You know, he goes 100% every night, which you'd think would be a good thing. And for some reason, they thought that was just not going to work. But he's, you know, he's like the website says, Russian machine never breaks. It just does. Maybe it falls apart a little bit from time to time.
Yeah, I mean, everybody needs an oil change every now and again.
Well, the thing is, everybody gets injuries in the playoffs. Like, that's not crazy. Or as you're going into the playoffs, you know, everybody gets little things. And sometimes you can play through them and sometimes you can't. And right now, I think they're kind of, maybe they're being a little more cautious. But the fact that he hasn't practiced at all in the last 4 days, that's where I'm like, that could be a problem. But
yeah,
on the flip side, if there was anyone who could not practice to come out and still score, you know, a hat trick, so Ovechkin.
That's right. And we got to give it up. I mean, this has been, it's been weird not having Ovi on the ice for this Islanders game, but you got to give it up to Daniel Sprong. I mean, this guy. Now, we're not going to give the guy the C, okay? It's not that extreme. I'm not saying that. But here goes a guy who was a healthy scratch, and next game he's playing on the top line.
Scratch this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this guy, he came in. Daniel Sprong has he's sprung into form and in Ovi form, and he's jumped up a couple lines. I mean, Richard Ponick isn't here because of players like Daniel Sprong and Connor Sheary.
Like Richard Ponick. Yeah, who scored true. The other yeah. night?
Yeah, everyone. He's getting overshadowed by Verona's 4-score game with Richard Ponick had one in there too.
And people are like, we shouldn't have traded him. I'm like, settle down.
Yeah. But Daniel Sprong, we have to give it to him. He moved up to that first line and came out swinging in that that game against the Islanders. I mean, he had a goal. He's doing what he has to do. You know, this is why I like Jay Beagle so much. He was a very versatile player. You could put him on that top line when he needed to be. Obviously, he was a little bit more comfortable in the bottom six. But if you needed him in a pinch, he could play on the top line. You know, he could do it. So Daniel Sprong, I mean, I like what I've seen from the guy. You know, you call on somebody like him when you need him and he's there. I like that.
I mean, he played well. He stepped up. He did exactly what the team needed in terms of playing like a guy who deserves to be on the first line. And when you're down your star player, the star player in the NHL right now, at least personality-wise, that you need someone to step up. You know, like we've always talked about, you can't always have your top-line guy scoring every night. You need to have scoring throughout the depth chart. And he did it. You know, Sprong stepped up. Everybody stepped up in that game against Islanders, not just Sprong. I mean, they all kind of sent a message to New York in terms of, you know, it's still our division. You can go sit down. Wait your turn.
Well, I think that was also
for
a
that
big
one
win
game,
for
at least.
Right. Well, I know it was a big win for the team as well because they won on the island at Nassau Coliseum, which the Islanders have had that arena, you know, on lockdown this season. It's been very difficult to win games there, and the Caps were able to go in right before the playoffs and go, we shut this arena down once, we can do it again.
That's just mean. We own your rink. No, I think that you go into a game and you know the pressure's on, and then you have even more because your star player is not playing. And so none of this was a surprise in terms of how they needed to play, but they were able to come out and pull it out, and props to them for doing it. Props to Daniel Sprong for stepping up. No Justin Schultz. So you're asking for Van Riemsdyk to come in. You know, he's in a better position now than he was in the first game without Schultz, but right, because he played one prior.
Right. Yeah, Schultz has been out since the Sunday game against Boston.
And it was weird. Like, they came off of that Thursday game with a 1-0 shootout win where, like, no one wanted to score. Actually, that's not even true. Everybody wanted to score, and the goalie said no.
Yeah.
And then Samsonov got his back-to-back start.
That's true. I mean, Samsonov looked great on Thursday. He definitely kept this team in the game because they were – you could tell they had just gotten off a three-day vacation, a three-day weekend, because they looked very unprepared to play.
Well, that Varlamov was playing out his mind.
Well, Varley didn't play that game, did he?
Yeah, he played – no. Oh, my God. Yeah, he did. Didn't he play the shootout game? He didn't play Sunday.
He didn't play
Saturday.
Saturday. Gotcha. Okay, sorry. I got that mixed up.
I actually thought he was in goal. I have the hardest time sometimes figuring out which goalie's in goal. Like, this is a story, not this season, like, historically. I always kind of had an easier time because he's kind of a stockier dude. But
he's a little,
like,
crazier, too. He jerks a little bit more.
Mannerisms.
Yeah, he's got, like, many mannerisms.
Especially with away teams. Like, I have a harder time telling which goalie's in net. So I missed the, like, I think the first, I don't know, minute or two of the game on Saturday. And so I was like, oh, Varlamov's in goal again. It's going to be great. And at some point they said the other dude's name, and I was like, wait, what? He's playing? All right. I don't know this guy's. Yeah, Varlamov played on Thursday. But, yeah, I don't know the other guy's name. He played Sunday and did not fare as well. I'm double-checking just to make sure.
Well, we got to bring this up as well on the Saturday game. I mean, big game. Ovi was out. The boys, played really hard, and it may have been a little bit more motivation as well, the fact that this was Zdena Chara's 1,600th NHL game on Saturday, playing up against the Islanders. Pretty crazy that seven-foot-tall giant has been able to play that many games in the NHL. He seems to be very well respected in the Caps locker room. Yeah, and I absolutely love the graphic. I shared it on the What the Puck Facebook page, but I the NHL Players Association tweeted out a picture, like a little montage picture for a 1600 game. That was kind of like him in the different teams' jerseys that he has played with. Really good looking graphic there. Like the work that they did. But 1600 games. Congratulations to Zdena Chara on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to see that he's played that many games and at such a high level, and he's continuing to play at a high level. And I wouldn't be surprised if he played next season. And potentially a season after that, because he's able to keep himself in shape. He's a big dude, which I imagine is harder. And so, props to him. Congrats.
Now, looking into the future this week, some good news here in the DC area. Caps fans will be in attendance for the first time this season for a home game in DC on Tuesday. Coach, what do you think that atmosphere is going to be like? I mean, we've talked about the impact of this team playing in front of nobody. We've seen players, you know, like Tuukka Rask leave the bubble in June or July, whenever that was, because it just wasn't the same. It just wasn't mentally right for him.
We have a family thing,
the Caps
too.
I think he had a family thing as well, yes. But it has been over a year since Caps players have played in front of Caps fans. like in a large amount. I'm sure some have made the trip up to Philadelphia. I know there was a bus trip from Baltimore to Philly for a weekend game recently against the Flyers. Uh-huh. But something about your home ice in front of your home team fans, there's something special about that, and the Caps are going to be able to feel that. And I mean, this is Dana Chara, you know, we just brought him up. This will be his first time in DC with DC fans wearing the Caps sweater, actually not being booed, you know, for being a Bruin or something like that.
You ruined it by saying it yourself.
That's what I do. But this is going to be big. I mean, I'm hoping that the Caps can come out, fire on all cylinders and put on a good show, but Caps fans back in attendance in DC. That's huge.
Yeah, I mean it's a big moment. It's an expensive moment, I'm willing to bet. But I think it'll be a good thing.
This is legit a shoot. I'm telling you completely truth here. When the Orioles announced that they were going to be putting tickets on sale and they were actually going to have fans at Camden Yards this year, I was like, "Oh, I want to buy some tickets." And I couldn't remember the website to go to buy tickets like secondhand or, you know, buy from other fans or whatever. I could not for the life of me. And I had to Google it. I'm like, resell sports tickets. And I was like, oh, StubHub. That's the one right now. That fell out of my head because of this pandemic, because I had no reason to look for tickets like that.
Currently, if you want to go see them take on the Rangers, it will cost you... Oh, this is at the Rangers. Sorry. Never mind. That's why it was $166 for the cheapest one. But it's probably because you're going to go see it in New York, where everything is jacked up in price.
Yeah.
StubHub.
That's pretty normal for MSG.
Right? Doesn't have anything listed for the Caps. Let's see if I can find it on their website. But no, I think it'll be a big moment. It'll give the players a boost. I think it'll be nice to have for the playoffs. You know, assuming they're going to make it. And I think that it'll be weird at first, I think. But I think it helps. You can't even buy tickets at the moment off their website. I don't know how to get them.
So it's a sold-out game already.
Yeah, but it doesn't even say it's sold out. It just says that they're not, like, listed, which is weird.
It was only offered to season ticket holders.
That would do it.
Yeah.
That would do it. But I think that it'll be weird to hear again. You know, it's like... watching any sport that has fans there is still weird to hear that again. I watch European football and they have crowd noise that they pump into like the stadium or not even the stadium. I think they just pump it in the broadcast, so it sounds more normal for fans at home. But it's different when you actually can see them. So it'll be strange.
Good strange.
I think so. I mean, I think the players are going to be pumped up. I think going out warm up with the fans cheering them on. I mean, not going to be crowded around the tunnel like they normally are. But I think it's going to be – I think that first 10 minutes on Tuesday, they're going to be flying.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the Caps have some things planned for that first game. They're giving out face masks to everyone in attendance. And they're going to – I know. They look actually pretty nice. They say all caps.
They say all caps. Never mind.
Yeah. If you look at the tweet I put in the notes, just click on that tweet.
I may have deleted it. Oh, you mean like right now? missed it.
Yeah,
hold up.
Yeah.
Okay, you keep going. I'm going to look at it.
Yeah, so they're giving out, I think it says like all fans, all caps, something like that. And they're going to be honoring frontline workers.
That's cool. I like that. I don't like the mask as much, but I do like that they're going to be honoring the frontline workers. That's important.
Yeah, they're honoring the frontline workers. They're going to have hundreds of frontline workers there. I really like that. Mm-hmm. Frontline workers have been the heroes of this entire pandemic. You know, they're working front lines out in the open while, you know, a lot of people like myself get to work from home, you know, in their cushy man caves, you know, with TV on in the background. You know, they're out there helping and saving lives. So I really like that the Caps are honoring them, and every team should, and every team I think has pretty much this year. So, you know, it's a good way to say thank you, especially in this area.
No, I agree. I think it's the right thing to do. Just wish they made nicer masks for them to have. But, no, I think it's a great thing that the Caps are doing, and a lot of teams are doing. And I think once this is all over, there needs to be more done to thank the people that have been on, the nurses and doctors and healthcare workers and scientists and everyone that's working towards this deserve more than, you know, nice hockey tickets are good, but more should be done to recognize the people that are literally putting their lives on the line, especially in the beginning.
Absolutely. So what else is going on in Caps world?
Schultz still out. He did practice, but he's in a non-contact jersey. Now, that isn't to say that he's not going to play. I think Kempney, not Kempney, Raffle is in a non-contact sweater, and then they let him play the next day. So there's a possibility that Schultz comes back, but I haven't seen anything about him actually playing. I wouldn't be surprised if it took a little longer. And then speaking of Kempney, he is reportedly, Laviolette said that they actually might give him a conditioning stint. This comes from Tarik El-Bashir and Tom Gleady and Russian Machiner, but like everybody's reporting it basically that Laviolette came out and said that there's a possibility that he could be playing in Hershey before the playoffs. So there's a possibility to get some more defensive depth prior to the playoffs. And then I think he's gone the offseason, but one thing at a time.
Yeah, I think so too. I highly doubt he plays at all in the postseason.
Oh, I mean, well, that, yeah, if they're healthy, he's not playing. Because I think that Laviolette likes the top six. He likes having, you know, those guys out there night in, night out, as we've seen. But it's nice to see that you have this depth available. You know, I think Kempney's probably number eight on the roster right now.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I could be wrong. But if I was to make a guess, he'd be number eight because he hasn't played all season. At least Van Riemsdyk is, you know... played a couple of games. Most of them at defense. All
right.
Because remember, he was playing forward that one game, but he sat on the bench the whole time.
No, but I believe you.
They play with 11 forwards and then 7 defensemen, but he didn't like play at all. They didn't really do the same thing to Siegenthaler, who got to like skate around at one point. They're like, go sit down, kid.
Right. Sorry. My brain's fried. Right. It's only Monday.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, the postseason is fast approaching, and we got some heavy competition towards the end. We'll talk about that later in the show when we're going over the games until we talk again. But that's it for what's going on in Caps world. Ovi, feel better. Congrats, Zdeno Chara. Here we go. We're going down the stretch. Welcome back, Caps fans, to Capital One Arena. All right, so that's it for what's going on around Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and Cubs and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 2-1 since we last talked with wins over Lehigh Valley and Wilkes-Barre Scranton. They're currently first in the North Division with 36 points, 4 up on second place Lehigh Valley. Although the Bears have played 3 more games, so they definitely need to keep up their winning ways to send the Phantoms back. Anyways, they'll be back at it on Wednesday in Binghamton before heading to Wilkes-Barre Scranton on Friday before they welcome Lehigh Valley on Sunday in a mid-afternoon game. Now, in other Bears news, Hershey and the Caps both announced that they have signed head coach Spencer Carberry to a multi-year contract extension. They also announced that they signed assistant coach Patrick Weller and associate goaltending coach Alex Westland to multi-year deals. This is Carberry's third year with the Bears, amassing a .702 win percentage in 161 games. So, well-deserved there.
Yeah.
Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays continue their struggles, going 1-2-1 in the past week with a win over Greenville. They're currently tied with Jacksonville for fifth with 54 points, 15 back of first place Florida, but they're only 6 back of second place Indy. So basically, it's like the old Southeast Division where it was like the Caps and everybody else. Now, they'll be back at it with 3 games against Orlando starting on Friday, then back-to-back on Sunday and Monday. Let's go back up to Hershey, where the Cubs announced that they have signed forward Oliver King, becoming the second player in franchise history. The Cubs also announced that their tryouts at the end of May on the 22nd and 23rd will be led by their owner and former Caps head coach Bruce Boudreaux, as well as Don Parsons, who is the head coach of Lebanon Valley College, and Pat Carroll, head coach of Temple University. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, so I was listening to Caps this morning. I guess it was last week.
Oh, I forgot.
And they were talking about John Walton. I believe it was his first professional radio gig, and he was doing radio for a Kentucky AHL team, and it was Zdeno Chara's first game in the U.S., I believe. If I'm getting the story correct, I'm pretty sure I am. But I'm bringing this up because I had never heard this name before, and I was like, I got to bring this up so Coach Dan can talk about it. This was an AHL team in Kentucky, the Kentucky Thoroughblades.
No.
Instead of thoroughbreds, because it's horses.
Yeah. Terrible. Wait. Why does he look like the Joker colors?
It does look like the Joker colors.
Okay, actually, that's not that bad. Let me put it this way. There have certainly been worse, but that one's pretty bad.
The colors, though, that's San Jose Sharks. They were the farm team for the San Jose Sharks.
I don't understand this. Why are there teams that switch?
Like your cameras just did?
Yeah, because my camera keeps freezing because I think my laptop's not as good.
Yeah.
the video card or whatever it is. So I want to see if it keeps doing it off the other camera. So, but why are there minor league teams not near their affiliate? I mean, it's the same thing in baseball. It annoys me to no end. Like, why were the Nets have a team? It was his last season. AAA was in Fresno. I don't understand that at all. But whatever.
I gotta find. I see if there's a picture of Zdeno Chara in one of these jerseys.
Oh, he was playing for them.
Yeah.
God, I bet you can find it on eBay.
Oh yeah, look at that, 97.
That was his height. must have been back when he was part of the Senators organization, I would imagine.
Well, no, I think it was the Sharks. Wait, why would he play for the Sharks? He wasn't with the Sharks, was he?
It could be they had a dual affiliate thing.
So this is interesting. The Void in Lexington, Kentucky was replaced because the team left. It moved to Cleveland in 2001, became the Cleveland Barons. And then the team in 2006 moved to Worcester, Massachusetts, and became the Worcester Sharks. And then in 2015, the team moved to San Jose to become the San Jose Barracuda. But the Void in Lexington was replaced in 2001 by another minor league hockey team, the Lexington Manowar of the ECHL, and that only lasted one season.
Yeah, it deserved to only last one season based on that name. Get out of here.
But I thought, I was like, oh, I got to bring that name up because Coach Dan will have a field day with that. The Thoroughblades.
Not the worst.
It's like the Everblades.
Oh, God. That's worse. It's hockey. We're going to throw Blade in there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what, yeah. Somebody can we get ice? Can Nintendo we work ice we in at all?
Terrible. It's like, we played Blades of Steel when we were kids. We could definitely name a team that. Terrible.
All right, well, that's it for what's going down on the farm. What's going on down on the farm, I should say. Go Bears, go Stingrays, go Cubs. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff on the ice and off the ice happening in NHL world. So, Coach Dan, catch us up. What's going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start in New York, where NBC, according to the Sports Business Journal, they have pulled out of the bidding for the NHL's second TV rights package. That's surprising, considering the history of the NHL being on NBC. The journal also reports that Fox and a CBS Turner package are still in the running for the B package, with the A package obviously being with ESPN. Sportsnet's Chris Johnson recently reported that Fox Sports is the front runner, and that Apple can end up securing some rights to the NHL games. However, TSN's Bob McKenzie is reporting that the likely partner could end up being TNT, which is owned by Turner entertainment networks. So someone's going to get it, but there's going to be a bunch of people at NBC that either need to flip to covering a different sport, or they might be updating their resumes, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, with NBC Sports going away, I don't understand the logic here of not being a part of this bidding war, because especially NBC Universal has Peacock right now that they're trying to get off the ground, and they're buying up all kinds of different content. They're doing original content. But as we, like we have talked about, and I've talked about for too much time, about how live sports are what keeps people tuned in every month, and that's what they want for the streaming wars, is that churn to keep people giving $10 every single month all year. Why would you not want the NHL to be on Peacock? That makes no sense to me. I feel like somebody got their feelings hurt that the NHL went with ESPN, didn't stick with NBC for the whole package, and that's not going to happen. So I think it's ridiculous that NBC would pull out at this point. I guess they had a price in mind that they want to pay, and the NHL has, you know, a different price in mind. And it's you got a bunch of other people like waving over here going, hey, I'll pay you that. So I don't want them to go to Apple TV Plus. No one has Apple Plus TV, whatever crap is called.
I've watched my sister has it, so I used it to watch Ted Lasso. Great show.
Okay, so there's one person who has Apple TV.
She's keeping
Plus.
Them in business.
I would like to see. I'm intrigued to see what happens with TNT, because as everybody knows, I again bring up far too much. I'm a big wrestling fan, and All Elite Wrestling is on Wednesday nights for Dynamite on TNT, and hockey and wrestling go hand in hand. Chris Jericho is their big veteran name on AEW. His dad was a Ted Irving, who was a big-time New York Ranger player. So there's a lot of hockey. So to see those two companies kind of intertwine, I would be A-OK with that. To see Tom Wilson put somebody through a table on AEW, I'd be cool with that.
No, we don't want him to be getting hurt. No.
He won't get hurt. They're professionals. They know what they're doing. But it'll be interesting, because Wednesday night rivalry night was a thing on NBC, but AEW is on TNT on Wednesdays. Would they bump AEW? We were talking that WWE NXT was being moved to Tuesday nights. They were saying, because they were on the USA Network, that hockey was going to go there. Obviously, that's not true now, because USA is owned by NBC. So, you know, who knows what'll happen. Maybe they'll go to TBS, or they could go to CBS. CBS also owns that, or that could mean that the NHL goes to Paramount Plus. You know, there's a lot of options.
I have that one. You know why they're not going to stay on Peacock? Because their app sucks.
Their app is pretty bad.
It's terrible.
Again, they bought the WWE Network, and the WWE Network had a fantastic interface. You could put in a wrestler's name, and they would give you a list of their matches and which ones to watch. Now you put in Amy Poehler on Peacock, and it doesn't even bring up Parks and Rec.
That's like, pretty bad.
What are you doing? You bought the network, buy the tech with it, and put that tech into your app. Come on. It's not that difficult. But who knows? I would like to see TNT and TBS and that network get the NHL. I think they could put a nice fresh spin on it. Obviously, they do a lot of dedicated work to the NBA, so that'll be interesting to see how those two work together. They run their seasons pretty much parallel, I believe. I mean, usually
more
it's
more or less the big chunk of the season is parallel, but the NHL starts a little earlier and ends a little later.
So that's TV rights here with Coach Dan and Brandon. So I'm intrigued to see what happens. But ESPN, you know, I was thinking about this. I think they said that for the last 10 years, Ovi has been on NBC. And I was wondering, so does that mean, like, the last time he was on ESPN playing a game was during the lockout when he played for Dynamo? Because remember, ESPN aired some KHL games during the lockout?
I don't remember that. I think I didn't watch
that. No, that was a big deal. I was like, I want to see him, because I thought it was kind of like a, hey, screw you, NHL. Look who we got on our TV. We got one of your boys here playing for the KHL. But Ovi was on a KHL game for ESPN back in the day.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Weird times. We'll see what happens. I mean, there's still maybe not plenty of time, but there's still time for something to change. But, you know, it's going to be ESPN for the most part, and ESPN Plus. And we'll see who gets some of the other games. I mean, it's not unprecedented. The NFL has Fox and CBS. And then the Super Bowl can be on other stations. So they're all over the place.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a specific order. Like, you get it every fourth year, and then you get it every fourth year. Like, they all have to work together.
In the TV world, yeah, right. But let's move on. As the president of the IIHF, Rene Fassel, issued a letter on Friday, April 23rd, about the cancellation of the Women's World Championship. We talked about this last week. In the letter, Fassel says the IIHF is not in agreement with the government's position insofar as we have done everything necessary to install the proper COVID-19 safety precautions in place and remained in close communication with the relevant government and health authorities and with Hockey Canada throughout the preparation stage. As both the IIHF and Hockey Canada had assurances that this event was going to proceed a few days before the cancellation announcement, this news was completely unexpected. While it is not possible to immediately reschedule to a new date and venue, as we must again go through the COVID-19 safety protocol preparation and have organizational discussions with Hockey Canada, we will do everything to ensure this event can be held as early as summer 2021, end quote. So that will be something to keep an eye on.
So it's very intriguing this whole thing came up, because it absolutely 100% sucks that the women's world championship is not happening and that there hasn't been a women's tournament in about 3 years. So that's a little ridiculous. However, if there is an outbreak of COVID going on in Nova Scotia, then the government should probably say, we can't host this thing right now. We can't dedicate, you know, a certain amount of medical staff to your tournament when we've got other things going on. So I understand that. However, to say that you didn't have a backup plan, especially right now during the pandemic, is a little ridiculous when you do have the U18 men's team tournament going on in Texas right now. I feel like the IIHF should have been a little bit forward thinking. And if you read the entire letter from the president, it seems like they did try their best to do everything. And I know this pandemic COVID era is very difficult for everyone, and it costs a lot of money to be this safe and bubbles and all that kind of stuff. We saw that the NWHL had a hard enough time keeping COVID out of their bubble just a month or two ago. So this really sucks that it's not happening, and I'm hoping it happens over the summer. But I don't know. It definitely seems like the women's tournament is being treated very unfairly to the men's, and they should be treated as equals. I mean, we saw that with March Madness. Remember the video that went viral of the women's weight room compared to the men's? And they're saying, oh, there wasn't enough room, but that wasn't true. So I hope this isn't the same type of situation. It seems like it might have been. But, you know, if Nova Scotia says it's not safe for anyone to come in, then it's not safe for anyone to come in. So I'm glad that they caught a couple of the teams, though, because a couple of the teams were, like, on the road to the airport when they canceled it. Like, they were ready to start quarantining, and they caught them before they got on the plane, thankfully. But we'll see what happens. Hopefully there is a tournament over the summer, and, you know, we get to see some women's hockey pretty soon, because women's hockey is just as important as the men's hockey.
Agreed. Yeah, it's you're correct. They probably should have had a backup plan, but it also seems like it's a little strange that they didn't, you know, they weren't forward thinking. Final bit of news. Let's head over to Toronto, where the NHL fined forward Joe Thornton a little over $3,000 for committing interference against former Cap Mathieu Perreault. I didn't actually know he was still in the league.
I didn't either.
I was just thinking about him the other day for some reason. Had no idea. But that's the news for the past week in the wide world of hockey.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to... We're covering a lot of international hockey recently. We're going to have to figure out a new segment for some of this stuff. Which, hey, did you listen to the World's Championship song that I posted on the Facebook page?
I did not.
Got to give that one a listen, man. That's quite the little ditty, gotta say.
Okay, now I'm definitely not, because you just said ditty. You old person.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash, and make sure you tweet to Coach Dan. Let him know what you think of that ditty and why he should be listening to it. But Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
Just shaking my head at you right now. Terrible. You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff, as well as things about Arsenal Football Club, Borussia Dortmund, the NFL with the Bills and the Washington Football Team. And they're like,
it's draft week.
Oh yeah, that's coming up. When's the first round? Friday.
Thursday.
Didn't it used to be Friday?
No, it's always Thursday.
Really?
Yeah.
Why didn't
big,
I know that?
Big production.
Oh, of course. Of course. But yeah, we'll see what happens there. I don't think we're going to get a new team name from the Washington Football Team at that point, but that would be kind of a surprise if that was to happen. But that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, where don't tell me about ditties, because no one uses that term anymore except for Brandon. He is literally the only person in the world. But anyways, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other interesting things about the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs, and who else? Anything else that comes into the mind of Brandon and all of those ditties, which I don't even...
Yeah.
This doesn't even make any sense anymore. But that's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, speaking of the NFL draft coming up, is there by chance a podcast that you'll be working on besides this one that people can check out in the near future?
That's right. At some point this week, my buddy Josh and I will be on the call doing our Ravens podcast to preview the draft. If you go over to our Facebook page for the Call podcast, Josh did a mock draft on another show, because I don't know what I'm doing for a mock draft. I don't watch college football at all, so I have absolutely no idea.
But that's why when we talk about prospects for the NHL, I'm like, I don't know, talk to Ryan.
I watch the World Juniors, and that's about it. So I don't really know anything about the kids playing the hookie. So check out our Facebook page and listen to my other podcast called The Call as we get ready for the draft. Ravens already made some big moves. They got two first-round picks right now because they traded away Orlando Brown Jr.
Yeah, how do you feel about that trade?
I'm torn. Because I really liked
the who sang that song. I was gonna make a joke and then I totally blanked on who it was.
I don't know. Torn?
No, wasn't there a song? Yeah, wasn't there a song?
Sing it for me. Sing that ditty.
That, I hate you. I even set myself up for that one.
You did. You did. You 100% did.
I was right too. In my head, I was going Natalie Imbruglia, and I was like, that can't be right. I just Googled it. Yep, Natalie Imbruglia. You don't remember the song? I can't play it for you because I'm wearing headphones. I want my phone. Hold on. You keep talking about this.
All right, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look this up.
Okay, so legit though, because like the Ravens, like all jokes and trash talk aside, are supposed to be a good team, right? Even
right.
The Bills beat them. But the, like, I'm surprised. Was he not coming back?
He asked for a trade. Oh, yeah, I know that song. That's all I had to hear.
Yeah. Okay. Ah, the 90s.
It's a great era. Absolutely great era for music.
Oh, I got Sirius XM. I got 3 months free. The 90s station? It's interesting.
90s on 9?
Yeah, someone else has XM, I guess.
Yeah, my favorite station is Sirius XM Turbo, and that's like...
I think I listened to that one.
I don't know if it's alternative, but it's from like the 2000s, and God, I feel like I'm in high school again.
Yeah. Oh, you are. I mean, you're younger than me, but like early 2000s was high school, like the very beginning.
Yeah, 2003 is when I graduated from high school. But like, I get to hear like Stained and Limp Bizkit and Korn and Mud Shovel and Cold.
Are you rolling?
Like, I'm rolling, but like Cold was my band in high school. I loved that band. Absolutely. Their big hit was Stupid Girl.
I
heard Stupid Girl for the first time in years today in the car listening to Turbo. So I'm like, this is my new favorite station. Absolutely.
You know what you're talking about.
You gotta listen to SiriusXM Turbo.
No, I know that. I don't remember what stations I have bookmarked in my car. NHL Network's pretty good on there.
Lithium. That's my other favorite station.
I bookmarked or channel marked or whatever the terminal. Press and hold. so it says. For that station, I enjoyed it. I was flipping around today. My son was in the back with this, even though he's a toddler, with this look of, can you pick a freaking song, buddy? Like, come on. Got my stuffed animal in one hand. I got a cracker in the other. Let's play some music.
The Beatles and then the Bruce Springsteen channel. Those are my other go-tos.
I have those too. All right, wait a minute. I got some of the song that you just sent me.
So anyway, so Orlando Brown Jr. Yeah. So like he wasn't happy here. He wanted to go somewhere else. But he's really talented. I really liked what he brought to the team. Yeah, buddy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Vaguely remember that song. Okay.
Wanna love ya, wanna bug ya.
Okay, so settle down. Orlando Brown.
Right. So like he wanted out. You don't want a player to stay with your organization that's not doesn't want to be there. And I also don't like that he went to the Chiefs, because that's, you know, we got to beat the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl. And he's really good. And obviously Patrick Mahomes needs some help. We saw that in the Super Bowl. You know, if people can get to him, he doesn't play well. So Orlando Brown Jr. is going to do a great job protecting his quarterback. He did that for Lamar. So I'm a little torn. I like that he was a third-round pick, and now they don't have to pay him. He was a third-round pick, and now they got a first-round pick in exchange for him. So now you're kind of hoping you get a first-round pick that's cheaper than what he would have been if you had to pay him.
But will he be as good?
I don't – I mean, you got to ask, like, the draft professionals, you know, that are watching these players. We'll see. We'll see. But anyway, so yeah, listen to the Call podcast. I'm talking too much to Coach Dan about football. I mean, ruining all my points for the Call.
What are you talking about?
Taking all my good points away. No one's going to listen to the Call now because we're talking about it here.
No, because you actually go in depth. Here we're just screwing around. Actually, it's kind of what you got the entire show, but that's besides the point.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, listen to the Call. And now this show, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's it for the show this week. Let's go over the games until we talk again. On Tuesday, April 27th, the Capitals are up against the Islanders at home, and they will have fans for the first time in this season, and you can watch that game nationally on NBC Sports or locally on NBC Sports Washington. Then on Thursday, April 29th, the Caps welcome those pesky Penguins to DC. You can watch that one on ESPN Plus or NBC Sports Washington. And then on Saturday, May 1st, the Penguins are still in town. They're coming to D.C. They're staying for a little bit. Back-to-back games against those pesky Penguins. Those number one seeded Penguins right now. That game's at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. And then on Monday, they're going up to Madison Square Garden, up to New York, up against the Rangers. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. And then we'll be back on May 4th. May 4th! We're doing a show on Star Wars Day.
Oh, God.
May the 4th be with us. That's right. Coach Dan and I will be back. We will record a show in between viewings of the Star Wars saga. We're going to do a watch along live on our Facebook page, watching all.
You might be.
9, 10. How many are there? Are there 11 movies?
There's too many.
There's nine in the main story, and then there's Rogue One and the Solo. I'm not watching Solo. I refuse. We can watch The Mandalorian. Let's watch that. That was good. That was like a Western in the Star Wars universe. Coach Dan's falling asleep like he's old Yoda.
No, he's falling asleep because he's bored, because he doesn't care about Star Wars. I liked Rogue One, to be fair.
Rogue One was great. My girlfriend is not a fan of Rogue One.
That's the only one I liked.
I liked Rogue One. Rogue One was my favorite. Actually, no. Empire was my favorite. Rogue One comes in second.
Wrap it up, man. I got my kid yelling in the background.
Because he hasn't seen any of the Star Wars. That's why.
No, dude. He watched Toy Story. And his eyes, he didn't blink. I had to wave my hand in front of his face so he'd blink. Like, he gets some moisture on his eyes because he was just like this the whole time. Then people listening won't be able to see this, but you can imagine. Eyes open, mouth agape, and just staring. He was just like this the whole time watching it.
He's going to follow in his dad's footsteps. Going to go to college for some video production.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I think we're going to be getting a visitor in a moment, so we probably should wrap it up.
All right. Well, that's it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening. Say it loud, say it proud. Is that gel?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.